Mortality scores are an increasing issue for many healthcare organizations around the country. Obviously, the pandemic had a major role in affecting these scores and bringing them into the forefront, but the truth is this was an issue way before the pandemic. Despite the obvious reasons for organizations to address their mortality scores as a key quality indicator, these scores are important for other reasons as well. They're a major influence in the national quality scores and the reputation of the organization, but also add leverage in negotiations with payers. In this podcast, we've addressed this issue with a data scientist and a documentation specialist. Now I'd like to address it with a physician executive and hear his perspective. Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva, Principal in Operations and Quality at Vizient and Practicing Internist. Joining me in this discussion is my colleague, Dr. Aman Sabharwal. Aman, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do here at Vizient.
My name is Aman. I'm a hospitalist by background. I've been with Vizient for about 10 years, going on 11. I'm an internal medicine hospitalist, trained and practiced at the University of Miami-Jackson Health System. Started a hospitalist group there, grew it to 30 docs, and then I moved into case management, quality, utilization, and many other administrative duties.
Thank you, and we're glad you're here. So Aman, you and I have been working on a comprehensive mortality reduction program for some time now. Can you tell us why addressing an organization's mortality score is so important?
Yeah, mortality in the past hasn't really gotten much scrutiny, but in this day and age, it is getting a lot more attention as hospitals are paying more and more attention to their publicly reported outcomes. They're also paying attention to how they rank against other organizations. And as we get into more of a value-based healthcare environment, the consumer, which is the patient, is extremely savvy and they're making decisions. They're allowed to pick and choose where they receive their care. And having your public reputation available easily for everybody to see really is driving the impetus for health systems to pay more attention to their public rankings, which heavily weights on mortality these days.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more, but I think another takeaway that I've come around from doing this work around the country is that, frankly, we tend to put a lot of onus on the pandemic as being a cause for higher mortality. And of course, particularly during the first surge, the mortality rates were high. But this has been a problem going on probably for decades, but definitely in the last 10 years. Our data from the clinical database, which actually is getting data for close to 1,000 facilities around the country right now and greater than 95% of all the academic medical centers. This is something that's been going on for quite some time.
Yeah, put the pandemic aside is what I tell people, because mortality has been an issue before pandemic and it's going to be an issue post-pandemic. And at some point, the pandemic will be over and we have to get back to basics and get back to really taking care of the quality that we deliver in our organizations. What's really more pressing, mortality weighs a little over 20% in Vizient's quality and accountability ranking. It weighs a little over 20% in the CMS stars. It weighs a little over 20% in U.S. News and World Reports. And then when you look at Leapfrog PSI-4, which is surgical deaths, carries some weight as well. But if you look across all of these public rankings, mortality really has a significant weight on all of these rankings. So it's really important for organizations, pandemic, non-pandemic, to really get this right.
We also mentioned about not only in reference to national quality scores and the reputation and just quality as a whole when looking at your mortality, but you also mentioned about value base and tying this into dollars. And I'm certainly not looking at it just dollars as a whole, but we need to be realistic also because healthcare is a business. I think there's an issue even with leverage with contracting because of mortality scores.
Yeah, much like the public rankings, like we just talked about, the commercial payers, they're paying close attention to these things as well. And some commercial payers have their own ranking methodology as well that takes into account things like mortality.
So let's dive into what the O&E ratio, so the observed to the expected mortality ratio. Can you tell us a little bit about what it is and what does it mean?
Sure. So as we at Vizient, as other ranking organizations, look at health systems and their outcomes, we look at it in an observed to expected ratio. So when you look at it in that fashion, a 1.0 is kind of what we consider our neutral zone. And if your O to E ratio is above one, that means you're performing worse than the cohort. And if your O to E ratio is less than 1.0, that means you're performing better than your cohort. But it's like I tell organizations all the time, even if your O to E ratio is, say, a 0.8 9, that doesn't mean you still can't do better. When we look at value-based arrangements, you could be in a penalty zone, you could be neutral, or you can be in an incentive zone. Just because you're not getting penalized doesn't mean you can't be earning an incentive. Or if you're earning an incentive, that doesn't mean you can't be earning a greater incentive. So there's always room for improvement, whether your O to E ratio is in the red or neutral, or whether it's in the green. And when we talk about the O to E ratio, there's ways of impacting the observed aspects of it, and there's ways of impacting the expected aspects of it. Really attacking, whether you're looking at mortality or length of stay or whatever outcome you're looking at, you really got to look at attacking it from both the observed and the expected.
Couldn't agree more. When we speak to many organizations around the country, they tend to be somewhat hyper-focused on just issues affecting the bedside when it comes to mortality. But we found that that's not really the case. I think that many organizations are doing fine work around the nation. And obviously, there's always room for improvement, but I think they're pretty much setting themselves up for failure when it comes to the O to E ratio. So we've come up with 4 work streams. Can you share with us what those 4 work streams are?
Yeah, definitely. So when we talk about mortality, you can, and again, like I said, you can attack it from the observed or the expected. But the way I look at it, the observed is what you can control at the bedside, and the expected is what you can control away from the bedside. So when we talk about the observed, there's 3 things that really impact that. One is looking at your transfer center. What are the processes and the protocols around your transfer center? What's the culture in your organization? Do you accept patients that you really can't offer anything to and that are going to potentially expire within your organization and it's beyond your control? The other aspect to the observed is really looking at your culture around hospice and palliative care. What is the adoption of it? What is the culture of your medical staff? How active and aggressive are we in end-of-life care? How are we engaging our patients and our families in that aspect? The third piece about the observed is your mortality review process. You know, some organizations aren't reviewing all of their mortalities. Some are. But then when we review mortalities, what do we do with the information once we do the review of the mortality? It's not meant to be a check the box. We reviewed it and we're on to the next topic. What occurred in that situation and what can we do systematically, organizationally, from a standard work process to make sure that whatever potentially could have been prevented in that mortality doesn't occur going forward in the future? Now, switching gears, when we talk about the expected, yeah, we can control the expected as well. And how do we do that? And that's with documentation and coding. So we really want to make sure that we in the medical record are truly reflecting that patient's relative expected mortality by making sure that either from a physician standpoint, Tom, you know, as physicians, you know, making sure we're documenting things in the medical record that really show how sick our patients are. And then from the coding standpoint is what we're documenting, making it to the final coding summary that really counts and calculates what the patient's relative expected mortality is. So it's twofold on the expected, right? It's making sure that we're doing our job as physicians, but also making sure that our coding department is capturing all of those ICD-10 codes to really show how sick our patients are.
Yeah, I'm very proud of what our product, which is really pretty much not only comprehensive, but holistic.
Yeah, I think when you look at mortality and you hit it on the head, we talk about it as a comprehensive approach. We talk about it as a comprehensive mortality improvement program. And you really have to look at all 4 of those areas to really make an impact on mortality. And just by moving your O to E in mortality, you can really move your entire ranking by 50%, 75% just by touching and improving the mortality. So I tell organizations around the country that really want to improve in any of these national rankings, what's the one single thing you can do today to make sure that you move from, say, a 70 to a 35, for example, in the next year? It's just working on mortality.
Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. I want to thank my colleague, Dr. Amin Sabharwal, in joining us, and he'll return for next episodes to continue our discussion. And if you'd like to contact Amin, we put his email address in the resource section of our podcast page. And if you have any additional questions pertaining to modern practice or simply want to send your comments, please contact me in our email at modernpracticepodcast.com. We posted a link in our resource sections. And please join me for other Modern Practice Podcasts. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thank you so much for listening.